Oh, you men are alike, John. I wash and scrub and fix meals all day long, and you come home and treat me like a dog.
Well, I said, honey, it was at 7:05, and I want to hear the Joy Boys.
Oh, I'm going to go home to Mother.
She listens too, honey.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Joy Boys program for Thursday evening. This is Ed Walker here. Hopscotching the world for headlines. This is Willard Scott speaking to you from Studio 2. Our mystery man is the engineer. Also, Arthur Page, our regular man.
Yeah.
And we have a new fellow, George Warren Kearse is over here. Oh, George, look out. Knocked his head up on the door there. Take it easy, George.
What do we have coming up on the program this evening?
Well, we have a very exciting show. Before I mention that, though, I want to call the attention to all of our listeners that I've heard many remarks made that little children listen to our show, an awful lot of little kids. In fact, the little Holman boy, I was talking to his daddy today, and he listens to our show every night. The Grayson children listen. The James brothers, I understand, catch it. And the Dalton gang.
My mother makes me listen as punishment whenever I'm bad.
So, today, for all the little children, we have a story today.
Mm-hmm.
Our rating. we're going to do the story of Aunt Harriet. She's going to tell another children's story.
That's fine.
And we will take you to an on-location interview with the exciting new picture Quicksand and the producer, Boris Boris, the director of that show. And finally, the Sodbuster today. So it should
be a very interesting program.
Well, good evening, friends and neighbors.
Jonathan Apple.
I'm once again to forget your cares and labors. Jonathan Apple here with the poem.
Wonderful.
Are you ready?
Thank you.
Wait a minute. Jonathan Apple, forget your cares and your labors. It didn't rhyme.
And I said, I'm happy to meet all my friends and neighbors.
Do it again from the top. Go out and come in again, will you, Jonathan? Okay. Okay, just go ahead on out first. And
now, come back in
again. Come on in again,
John. I'll use the line. It should be time for...
Good evening, all you friends and neighbors. Time to forget your cares and labor.
Ah, I got it. That's right. Now here's Jonathan Apple with his poem for you.
I like you and you like me, and we're all a service of NBC.
Yeah, that's pretty darn good. Now in closing, here's Jonathan Apple. He says,
Bum Voyage. A bon voyage, I'm sorry.
No moon at all.
That's Marge Dodson and a song we dedicate to all people who like to drink their soup from a cup.
I don't get it.
No spoon at all.
No, that's moon, Willard.
What's everybody running for?
Hey, let me help him up there, fella. You tripped over the...
I get paid scale for coming in here and running every evening there.
I hear you running on every station in town. You must...
I'm a little winded. I'm supposed to say one thing here.
What's that?
I read the Washington Post every day.
Oh, okay. Wonderful. Thank you very much. That was very nice of you to do that. This is the Joy Boys Show, NBC Radio.
Hey. Willard?
What?
Who's that new engineer? We keep changing engineers. The new guy sitting behind the turntables in there. Who's that?
Don't you know who he is?
No, who is that?
That's Frank Nettie's cousin from Chicago.
What are you guys doing?
Oh, nothing, sir. We're just finishing the tag on our...
We just do your job, I'll do mine, and let's shut up.
Have you met Mr. Walker, Mr. Nettie?
How do you do?
Yeah, Albert Nettie here, and wonderful.
Will you guys shut up?
Okay, just play something. Now, boys and girls, time once more... for radio's original storyteller show, Kindly Old Aunt Harriet, with bedtime stories for little boo-boos. Brought to you once again by the makers of Hoo-Ha Bubble Gum. Remember, there's a double bubble in every bubble of Hoo-Ha. bubble gum. Now, for tonight's little story, here's kindly Aunt Harriet and her little nephew, Larry.
Good evening, boys and girls.
Good evening, Aunt Harriet.
Hello there. Would you make yourself comfortable now, boys and girls?
Okay, Aunt Harriet.
Time for our bedtime story for this evening.
Sit over here by the sound effects engineer.
Stop chewing that bubble gum, Junior, please. Tonight, boys and girls, I'd like to tell you the story.
Had pizza for dinner, I'm sorry.
Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Hooray!
Once upon a time, there was a little girl named Snow White, and she lived with a wicked old witch.
Booth!
That's right, and the witch was mean to Snow White and tried to get her lost in the woods.
Boo.
But Snow White came upon the cottage of the Seven Dwarfs.
Hooray!
And these seven little men were miners, members of Local 476 of the United Mine Workers.
Glad they're in the union.
James C. Dwarf, president, yes.
Wonderful.
And they were very kind to Snow White, and they took her in, made her their housekeeper, and treated her just as nice as one of the family.
And what's the moral to the story, Aunt Harriet?
The moral of the story is it pays to be kind to all people all the time.
You really mean that, Aunt Harriet?
Yes, don't be a meanie. Don't grouch. Don't yell at people.
Well, why don't you practice what you preach, you meanie?
Why, Junior, what do you mean? I'm always kind to people.
Oh, yeah? What about that scene with your director, producer, and your agent over there in the dressing room about a half hour before the show began?
Well, Uncle Bob and I are the finest of friends, Junior.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah.
Let's see if my tape recorder reveals anything different when I tape recorded what happened this afternoon, just an hour before this show. Turn that on, will you, Uncle Bob?
Well, listen, Uncle Bob, I'm sick and tired of the way you've been treating me. My rating's going down every month. You hear me? Down.
Look, if you would get yourself a new scriptwriter and get some activity yourself, we might get something done.
What about
all you do is lay around those nightclubs all the time and run around all those crazy guys. I'm sick and tired of trying to push an old has-been.
Now, what are you doing while I'm on the air? Telling stories to those little brats I have to sit in the studio and put up with them? You're out at the track.
At least my friends are out the track are friendly. That's what I like to do. I stay with the horses, with horse sense. Not a bunch of jack mules. I'm sick and
trying
to work with you, you big bum.
Well, Junior, I don't know what to say.
I do.
What?
This has been a recorded announcement.
Oh.
Really, I've been in radio now since I can say that I've never seen quite an expert.
Sign off the show, please, Mr. Knight.
Listen again next week when once more Hoo-Ha Bubblegum. Remember, there's a double bubble in every bubble of Hoo-Ha. Winning.
The Star Italian Street Song.
At the last, you play some wonderful music on this program. That was the Italian Street Song done by the Hi-Los.
Now, for our provincial audience, we would like Aldo Argentier, our engineer, to give it to you in Italian. Would you repeat what you just said in Italian?
Recitone se varitone scene, varitone carasone opello, varitone Italian street song. My shoes.
Sam Brewing Company, Baltimore, Maryland.
Well, it's going to be riding horse again.
Where are you going, Charlie?
I'm going to Bowie. Open there Saturday.
You running in the race?
No, I'm riding in a race. Yes.
I understand there are 9 races daily except on Tuesdays through March 29th.
That's right. They got heated grandstand, and they got the gray line and district buses to the track. Post time is 1:30.
Okay,
it's Bowie.
I'll see you later here.
Okay. Bye.
From the Everglades of Florida, this is your NBC reporter, Willard Scott, speaking to you from an on-location scene. The Hollywood Industry of Motion Picture Academy of Sciences is presenting for the first time a combined effort production of one of the most exciting motion pictures ever to be put on celluloid. It is the great dramatic story by HBHB, Quicksand, first a tremendous novel, now being turned into a motion picture, soon to become a Broadway play as well. And we're standing out here in the Everglades, about 15 miles from Orlando, Florida, with the director-producer, Mr. Boris Boris.
We'll shoot the next scene in 20 minutes. Everybody take a coffee break.
Okay.
Right there. Thank you very much. I'm going to be the viewer on the radio, I think.
Mr. Boris Boris, welcome to NBC's Janitor, and it's a pleasure for us to be here on location.
Really? You don't look like a janitor. You're too well...
The NBC Week.
Oh, it's the name of the program, yes. Thank you very much. It's a pleasure to be on and talk about our new motion picture.
We know that HBHB won 16 Pulitzer Prizes for the story of Quicksand. Could you tell us a little bit about the story and its plot?
This is a story that tells the story of a man lost in the jungle of society. His mind is going down in the quicksand of life. so we can draw the parallel of the actual quicksand. That's why we chose to film it here in the Everglades of Florida.
Could you introduce us to your leading star?
Certainly. I'd like for you to meet
Peter Rabbit.
Peter Rabbit, the famous... Peter, would you come over here a moment?
I saw Peter. We were checking with...
Wait a moment. He was standing not 10 feet away.
He was right over
me.
There by that sound truck a moment ago.
I don't see him now. His hat is there, but he's gone.
I guess he stepped out for some coffee.
Evidently he did.
Well,
yeah.
We know that this picture, as I say, has won more awards in book form than any other book in the world. Now, the famed actress, the great Hollywood actress, Myron Myron, I understand, is playing the part of Cecilia Cecile on this show.
That is correct, yes.
Could we talk to her?
Myron, would you step over to this?
Myron was...
Funny, she was here not 5 minutes ago drinking coffee.
Over there with Peter Rabbit a moment ago.
Yes, I don't understand this. Of course, you realize one thing, that we have filmed this movie on actual location. This is something that has never been done before. We came right down here to the actual quicksand of the Everglades of Florida.
I understand the musical score is one of the richest and most versatile of all, and Mr. Alfred Mannew, the great Hollywood musical arranger, is doing
right.
It for you. Could we talk about the music, do you think, is Alfred?
Yes. Alfred, would you come
over?
Alfred is not
Alfred
here.
He was right over there by the orchestra. The whole orchestra,
is missing. They must have gone out. Gee,
there's some music over there on the ground, but the orchestra's gone.
I don't understand this at all.
Well, listen, I'm going to step over here for just a second to make sure that I've got my cues and timings. I'll be set. Woodard's got here from the Everglades of Florida. Yeah, okay. Oh, as I was saying, Boris, Boris, you see Boris? Where's Boris?
He was here a couple minutes ago.
But Boris is standing right here a moment ago. Here's his script and his, the engineer can, the engineer is, the engineer's gone. I better switch this back to the, oh my goodness, we're switching out back to our studio.
Ah, that's the big band sound there. Those are the Commanders, and that's called Feller's Folly. You like that?
Yes, that's very good.
Good. All right.
I'd like to hear the Sod Buster, Martha.
I would, too. Let's roll the tape.
Wonderful. From out of Northwest on the Costa Boulevard comes the thundering hoofbeat of the great horse Platinum. With a cloud of dust and a hearty hi-ho slobber, the Sod Buster rides again. Nowhere in the pages of history can you find a greater campaign of justice, a more fearless, hard-riding, straight-shooting, beer-drinking, peace-eating son of a sod. It's the Sod Buster. A true gentleman of the old school. Men feared him. Little children respected him. Women loved him. A true gentleman of the West.
Excuse me, ma'am.
Return with us now to the thrilling days of any old years we find roaming about the wild badlands of the old West, the Sod Buster. The Sod Buster, U.S. Marshal Matt Dillard, and his sidekick, Chester Draw.
Come here, Chester.
Yes, Mr. Oh! Marshal, you kicked me right in the side.
I sure did.
It's early afternoon as our story opens. In and around the territory of Hyattville, on beyond Pacoma Park, rode the Sod Buster. As I said, it's early evening as our story opens. The crickets and frogs are in the background. Inside the marshal's office, Matt Dillard, U.S. Marshal, sits drumming with his pencil and thinking to himself.
Now then, let's see. The best way to do this, I guess, is to have the guys come in about midnight, rob the bank, and then have them hightail it out of town. Meet the stage about 10 miles outside of town.
Meanwhile, as the Sod Buster speaks to himself, his deputy, Chester Drawers, comes up outside. As he walks past the window, he hears the marshal talking.
Well, we could have the girlfriends of the crooks meet them after they've pulled off the bank job, and then they've hijack the stage out of town.
I don't believe what my little tender ears are hearing.
Then they could drive on to St. Louis, and nobody'd ever know.
The marshal has clean flipped his lid.
Yeah, that's a good idea. I think I'll
get ready to rob the bank. I better get down and see Doc Williams as fast as I can.
Meanwhile, Chester goes down to see Doc Williams as fast as he can, and he finds him with Kitty walking up the street there as he kisses.
Well, Doc, it's nice of you to walk me home.
Doc, Kitty.
Doc!
What do you want, Chester?
Doc.
Doc, Miss Kitty.
Yes, what is it, Chester?
You gotta come up right away to the marshal's office.
What for?
The marshal's flipped his lid. He's gone plumb loco.
Chester, I think you've gone plumb loco. You know Matt Wilbur.
Doc, remember that story about the schizophrenic you told me about last week?
Yes, yes.
I think
yes.
It's happened to the good old marshal.
Mm-hmm.
He's talking about robbing the bank and then robbing the stage and then meeting with the crooks' wives up there on the hill somewhere.
Hanging around with too many crooks, Chester. Come on, boy.
Come on,
Chester. In his office? He's hanging
up in his office. Quickly.
And so the Doc and Kitty and Chester go back to the marshal's office to try to find out as we find the marshal today.
Now, let's see. That ought to just about tie up all the loose ends if I have them crooks ride out of town and then...
See what I mean, Doc? Up there through the window. He's plumb loco.
All right, now, Chester, we'll break in the door, and I'll shoot him with a needle. It'll sort of quiet him down, and you hold him, all right? You ready?
Stand by, Marshal.
Stand by. Now, all I have to do is...
Hey, what's going on?
I got him. I got
a
hold of him, Doc.
Give
me
the
needle.
Chester. What's the matter with you? Who struck me with that needle, anyway? What is going on around here, anyway, Chester?
Well, Marshal, we hated to do this to you, old friend, but don't you worry about a thing. You're going to be all right. You're not going to have to rob no bank to get notoriety.
What do you mean, rob a bank?
I heard you talking, me and Doc and the kitty. We were sitting there. We heard you talking about
Chester.
Robbing the bank and then taking the stage and then getting
Chester.
Out of
there. Look.
What, Marshal?
See that?
What's this, Marshal?
That's a book I'm writing on how to rob a bank. It's going to appear in a monthly magazine this week.
Well, I'll be doggone.
I wasn't going to rob no bank, Chester. Somebody help Doc up off the floor, will you?
He got himself with a needle there, Marshal.
Oh, is that what it was?
The Sodbuster is written by Moby Dick, produced by the NBC Newsroom on the weekend, and directed by Horace Opera. The entire production is supervised for NBC Radio by Billy the Kid. This has been a Saddle Sore production.
Electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
That'll just about do it for the Joy Boys for this evening. Willard Scott had to catch a bus or something, so he left. This is Ed Walker saying thanks for listening. Thanks to Art.
Yeah.
And the mystery engineer, and Aldo.
My shoes, it's always my pleasure to be on a high-class program like yours.
Thank you.
This is Charles Stafford reminding you that this program is being heard overseas.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We take electrons to and fro.
Guy Lombardo invades the chime machine next on NBC.
A modern oil refinery is a 5,000-acre complex of electronically controlled equipment to transform crude oil into convenient economical liquid energy. Each day, such a refinery, Willard and Ed, can produce enough gasoline for 41 million miles of driving. Many special processes remove impurities, refine, and improve the product. A unique electronic control system keeps flow constant. You know flow, Will.
Oh, yes.
Quality high. It checks production details at 4,700 points throughout the plant. This is the brand name way of giving you the best gasoline and lubricants your car can get. It's only one example of the methods used to bring you the best when you buy famous makers' name brands. You see, a brand name is a maker's reputation. He can leave nothing to chance to ensure you have smooth and trouble-free performance. Buy by brand and be sure. Buy the brand names you hear advertised on WRC Radio,
You'll be glad you did. And we're not positive that WRC and WRC-FM are proud of the fact that their brand is stamped on Willard Scott and Ed Walker.
Yeah, Jack, yes. Listen, Jack, I want to tell you, you were great today.
Who's he talking
you,
about?
You really were. No? No, don't worry, but no, you came over beautifully on the monitor. Yeah, I saw it.
Who's he talking to on the phone?
Your voice. Oh, great. It was, the delivery was sensational, Jack. You did a beautiful job, and everybody enjoyed it.
It couldn't be.
And, Jack, listen, I have confidence in you, and I know you're going to do all right. And everybody feels the same way, Jack. All right. Goodbye, Jack.
Eddie?
Hmm?
Were you talking to Jack Kennedy, the president of the United States?
No, of course not. Well, I was talking to Jack Schwartz. He auditioned for an announcer's job down here today. I was trying to build up his confidence. Did a nice job, too.
I should have known. You're a Republican anyway.
Yeah, well.
The Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of Radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
We didn't pay the bill again this month, fellas.
Here we are speaking to you amid the clatter of old coffee cups, stained lipstick smears on napkins, and bits of old cigarette butts. The newsroom has been here and left their mark.
Yeah, they have. They did a beautiful job on the inauguration, though.
Really wonderful.
This is Ed Walker here.
Willard Scott over here. And now we're speaking to you, of course, under the reign of John F. Kennedy. We would like to congratulate the new president and the vice president and their first ladies, respectively.
And their cabinet.
And all the people at the inauguration and all the visitors who are visiting Washington today here. Thank you. Our engineer is Arthur Page.
Yeah.
The very charming Bobby Shenton.
Woo!
And
nobody else. We're on a low-budget show.
Bob Epstein directed. Right, Bob?
Well, I wouldn't blab about it if I was you.
He's the mayor pro tem of Manassas, Virginia. We're
what
glad
is pro tem stuff?
I don't know. The scriptwriter said...
What's coming up on the program this evening? Yeah.
Coming up tonight on our show, a very exciting show, Edward. We're going to take you to a sneak preview of the inaugural ball at the National Guard Armory. Charlie Nemo, our NBC roving reporter, will be there. We will present the inaugural newsreel and review, and also the WRC Roundtable.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Jonathan Apple is here again.
Here's Jonathan Apple, our poet laureate, with a poem for today, Jonathan.
I thought I'd achieved another 10 years' growth when I saw the president take the oath.
There you are. Terrific.
I have another one.
One more from Jonathan Apple.
I am definitely going to give my all when I perform at the inaugural ball.
Our choir record here.
I know I'm going to have a lark when I entertain at the Sheraton Park.
Jonathan, that's your bid. You're all ready to go.
I'm leaving. Goodbye.
Okay. Ladies and gentlemen, more food savings from Safeway. Thrifty, flavorful USDA choice chuck roast. Blade cut. Featured this week at Safeway for only 39 cents a pound.
Good deal.
Thrifty, yet full flavored, is only top quality beef can be flavored. USDA Choice Chuck Roast is your best buy in Thrifty meat cuts, right?
Right, yes.
USDA Choice Rib Roast, naturally aged to the peak of tenderness and flavor.
Yep.
Carefully trimmed before they've weighed them. And fully guaranteed by Safeway for tenderness and flavor.
These are guaranteed for tenderness and flavor.
This week, USDA Choice 7-inch cut rib roast is featured at Safeway for only 69 cents a pound. Right, Ed?
Boo.
Yes, USDA, your voice is changing, Ed. USDA Choice 7-inch cut rib roast, 69 cents a pound. And USDA Choice chuck roast, blade cut, 39 cents a pound. Two of the many fine food values you'll find where food savings are number one.
That's the Safeway, yeah, of course.
I mean, 61, right?
That's, yes. Thank you.
We invite each and every one of you tonight to be our special guests as the National Broadcasting Company and the NBC Weekend Radio Service of Janitor will take you to the inaugural balls. There are five to take place in the nation's capital, and we will switch you to the various ones from time to time. And now, as a service of the Joy Boys radio program, to give you a special introductory highlight, a sneak preview, as it were, to the inaugural ball to be held at the National Guard Armory, we call in our WRC staff announcer, Charlie Nemo, and a preview of tonight's inaugural ball. Charlie?
Good evening, Charlie Nemo speaking to you from the National Guard Armory in Washington, D.C. As you can hear, Willard, we have a gala crowd of people here. They're just about ready to sing another song. They're all gathered around the piano right now. And yes, they are. They're lifting their voices in song. Can you hear them?
Sounds pretty good, Charlie. One or two questions. I thought you were going to give us a brief rundown as to what's going on at the hall rather than I'm surprised anybody's there this early.
Oh, well, we got a good crowd here, Willard. Yes, indeed. And the people are just having a wonderful time. Some of them in slacks, some of them in sports shirts here, just singing and enjoying themselves immensely. They've been here for quite some time.
I'm not against good times, Charlie, but I'm a little surprised. I mean, this is to be a formal inaugural ball, and I'm a little surprised that the crowd is that wild and that free and loose. And your description of the clothes, is there something unusually wrong, Charlie?
That's the only thing that's wrong, Willard. We have a little touchy problem here. The people that are in here having this party are not people who've been invited to the inaugural ball. They're left over from the big gala show last night. Of course, it was snowing so badly that some of the performers and the guests here last night just stayed over, and they've been having a great big party all day long, and it's great. I'm telling you, Willie, we're having a ball here.
Well, Charlie, I mean, what are you going to do when all the people from the, the people from the political thing, I mean, what are you going to do with all these people in there?
I don't know, but we're just going to sort of fly it the way we see it. I mean, if they like our party, that's fine. If they don't, they'll just have to take their formal somewhere else. I guess Charlie Nemo, now back to NBC.
We'll be listening tonight to see if Charlie Nemo was able to throw the, that's not a good word, get rid of the other people, hangers-on. Now back to our studio.
Doris Day there, that's called Stepping Out With My Baby.
We have with us in our studio now a gentleman who's been running around the desk here for the last 5 minutes.
What do you want me to do to running from, huh?
Well, I understand you were sent over by the Washington Post to do a commercial.
I'm the world's fastest 100-yard dash runner.
Yeah, well, we just care about the commercial aspect.
Well, I get to open the microphone. Here I go. Rip. See you the next time around. One more time.
Good count, Tracy.
Can I come back again?
Say something in commercial, fella.
What's everybody running for?
Read the Washington Post every day. The WRC inaugural newsreel is on the air.
The stories and little-known incidents that took place during this afternoon's inaugural ceremonies, the people and the times, all brought to you on Living Sound Recording, presented by Polytech. The world's only watch with no hour hand, giving you the benefit of eternal youth for the first time. And now, tonight's inaugural newsreel, item. The man who came to dinner and ate. This afternoon, immediately after the inaugural ceremonies in the front of the Capitol, all the members of the new administration went into the Capitol for a special luncheon. It was a gala affair, with notables from all over the political highways and byways, feasting and toasting the new administration and their leaders. The highlight of this afternoon's luncheon was almost unnoticed until someone remarked how easily the lettuce seemed to break, which was, of course, a part of a special salad topped with pineapple and cottage cheese. Our fearless NBC reporters, sensing a story immediately, went into the kitchen and interviewed the cook.
You're the cook in charge of making the salad for this wonderful luncheon?
Oh, that I am. I made the salad for the luncheon.
People have commented that the salad was so easy to cut up. Can you explain that?
I certainly can, me boy. We took great pains. We took surgical instruments and partially cut through each leaf of lettuce, sort of perforating it a bit, so that when you just touch it with your knife, it would crumble into small, edible portions.
I see.
And that's item number one. Next, item number two. The closest man to the entire parade never saw it at all. Clarence Crowe, a utility worker for the Potomac Electric Power Company, was called from his home early this morning to fix an underground electric cable that had broken during the night. In order to reach the cable, which was located under the street just off Constitution Avenue on Pennsylvania Avenue in downtown Washington, he had to lift up a manhole cover and go beneath the streets to do his job. Here's the story from Clarence in his own words as to what his fate was.
You are the plumber?
Well, I'm an electrician, and I was roused out of my bed at 1:30 this morning with a report of a bad electric line and a transformer under the city streets. So I got up and went down to the proper location, which was in downtown Washington, and I got down there and worked feverishly on the equipment for several hours. And just as I was ready to come up to the surface again, I heard this tremendous thundering sound over my head.
Were you frightened?
Yes, indeed. At first I thought it was the enemy coming over, and then I stuck my head through the manhole cover, and I realized that it was a bunch of floats coming by. It was a parade.
I see, and you were stuck down there?
I certainly was. I didn't get up till just 15 minutes ago. But counting the parade and all the time I worked down there, I was there for about 12 hours, and I'm tired.
Item number three. One good turn deserves another. The Porcupine Stickers, a high school gymnastic team from Trout Pond, Idaho, had flown all the way to Washington to be in the inaugural parade this afternoon. Their float, consisting of a trampoline and 10 of Trout Pond's finest gymnasts, flipping, flopping, jumping, and leaping the entire route of the parade. So engulfed in their gymnastic activity, the driver of the float made a wrong turn after he left the Capitol building and is, at this hour, still traveling with his cargo of flippers and flappers pretty well worn out. We switch you now to Waldorf, Maryland, where Axel Grease, our NBC reporter, has that story for you.
This is Axel Grease reporting from Waldorf, Maryland. Ladies and gentlemen, we have just witnessed one of the saddest events ever to take place in inaugural history. As you can hear in the background, the students are so anxious to perform in the parade that while the truck was moving, they still continue to perform their gymnastic feats on this trampoline. The unfortunate thing is that we have only about 15 minutes worth of gas left in the truck. We are hopelessly lost, and at last report the parade ended 2 hours ago. The coach of the gymnastic team thus far has fallen from the truck 3 times trying to find his way back to the parade ground. Correction, make it 4. He just fell out again. This, without a doubt, is one of the saddest days in inaugural history for these boys. Now back to our studio.
And that's today's inaugural newsreel on the air. The stories and little-known incidents that took place during this afternoon's inaugural ceremonies. The People of the Times, brought to you by Polytech, the world's only watch with no hour hand, giving you the benefit of eternal youth. This has been a Good Julian production, NBC News.
Hello, Connell, singing All of Me. There you go.
Kimo sabe.
Yes, what is it, Frotto?
How come sound engineer cough on couch over there?
He has cold. He was out on the parade too long.
How come you not have silver, Kimo sabe?
Well, Frotto, since the radio series went off the air, I need the money, so I've entered silver at Bowie.
This commercial?
Yes, Bowie Race Course opens tomorrow. 9 races daily, Pronto, except Tuesday through March 29th. And they have heated stands, DC Transit and Gray Line buses direct to the track.
Plenty good, fat man.
Post time, 1:30 at Bowie.
Kimosabe, you think too late to scout and race?
Not at all.
Oh, boy.
Well,
WRC Radio presents the WRC Roundtable of Knowledge, presenting a group of distinguished semantic studiers who have made a lifelong habit of balling the jack. As our story opens, we find ourselves at the roundtable to introduce you to the panel members who will discuss a word for us today. First of all, representing the Chicago Institute for the Abolishment of Chicago, Mr. Orson Meyer.
Thank you. We've just signed Elliot Ness as a charter member of our
formerly the Ness synonym of 1932, now with the East-West North-South Word Study Group for Word Preservation.
You notice I made up with the South.
Miss Anonym.
How do you do, ladies and gentlemen? It's a wonderful pleasure, and I hope to see you tonight at the inaugural ball.
And finally, the eminent and distinguished gentleman, the professor of neoanthrosemantics of Wiesbaden, Germany, Professor Heinrich von Lein.
God, I'm the star of the show, and it's a pleasure to be with you again.
Would you say something in German, Professor?
Werner von Braun.
All right, are you ready for today's word?
Yes.
Panel members?
Yes. Jawohl.
All right, I see about Mr. Meyer. We haven't given the word yet.
Oh, no, I wanted to leave the room.
I'll wait after the
show. Yes, all right.
Fine, fight it. Today's word, panel members, is ghost. Have you got that?
Ghost?
Miss Meyer?
Ghost.
Him? Mr. Nine?
Ghost, is that what he
Professor
said?
Professor Ghost.
Ghost.
G-H-O-S-T, ghost.
Yeah, but...
Okay.
G-H-O-S-T.
Yeah, all right. Mr. Meyer, you had your hand up.
This time I know the answer, yes.
Okay.
I think that what it is, it's a term used in radio and television, like in a network that runs from the East Coast to the West Coast. It's called a ghost-to-ghost hookup.
That's not what we had in mind.
It isn't?
Nim, would you like to tackle the word ghost and give us its semantical meaning?
It's a paper. I read it every morning, The Washington Ghost.
Professor,
I run
obviously,
for it every day.
Obviously, it's up to you to save the group.
Obviously. Why not? Every week. You know, you could fire the other two members of this panel, and we could have a lot cheaper show with
the
a lot more
The show wouldn't be very colorful, though. Professor Van Lines, what does the word ghost mean to you?
Very simple. It's in a song called I Don't Stand the Ghost of a Chance with You.
You're certainly right. You don't. And would you join us again next Friday at the same time when once again we'll present our panel members with another exciting discussion on one particular word. Thank you, Mr. Meyer.
My hand is still up. Can I leave now?
Wait till the show's over. Thank you, Miss Nim.
Yes, sir.
And thank you, Professor Van Lyon.
Yeah, but thanks for nothing.
This program came to you transcribed from Georgetown. It's fashionable, you know.
Joy boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio, we chase electrons to and fro.
And so we cork up the barrel for another week on our program. Thanks to our producer, Richard the Lionheart. Our director, Marco Polo.
Never tell the shadow of a little piece of you.
Scripts and special material by Queen Isabella. And our lawyer, Clarence Darrow.
And we lost another one.
Thanks to Bobby Shetton. Arthur Page.
Yeah.
And Bob Epstein.
What was this pro tem?
Say something about the Charlie Staffer bit.
This is Charles Staffer. Biting at the chant, champing at the bit.
The show is heard overseas.
The show is heard overseas. Have a good weekend.
We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the joy boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
The Hawaiian branch of the Guy Lombardo Orchestra entertains on monitor tonight over NBC.
WRC and WRC-FM, Washington.
I see by the clock on the wall there's a little smidge of rigatoni cheese. I think somebody had a party in here over the weekend. Good evening. It's 7:05. Time with the Joy Boys. Willard Scott here.
Ed Walker over here.
Very exciting show is coming your way this evening on this first day of the new week. We hope you'll all settle back.
I was in the land of cotton. The old times there were not forgotten. Look away.
Beg your pardon. Beg your pardon,
Look
sir.
Away. Yes.
So
good
we,
evening, boy.
Can we help you? I think you're in the wrong place.
Flaptrap is the name, boy. J. Oliver Flaptrap, Senator.
Senator?
Yes, sir. I was recently elected to Congress. Here are my credentials.
Yeah,
you
want
to inspect them, boy?
That's all right. Put the sow belly in the faucet down there. We don't need those. Thank you very much for dropping by, Senator, but I think Patty Cavan's already off the air.
I'm not here to see Miss Cave-In. No, I'm here taking a tour of the sights of our fair city of Washington, D.C. I just arrived a few minutes ago, and my carpet bag is still down at the depot. I'll have to get one of your boys to go down there and pick it up.
Well, since you're here, we always like to treat dignity with dignity. And
that's... Very well spoken.
Pretty humorous.
Yes, sir. I'll send you a ham hock when I get home.
Oh, I can probably use it by the time I get home. Where are you from, Senator? Would you like to tell us how you...
I'm from a town down in Georgia.
Wonderful.
And I want you to know that we had a mighty close election down there. I've been running for Congress, so this will be my 18th time.
In Congress?
No, 18th time I've been running. This is the first time I won.
Oh, you won?
Yeah.
Oh, you won. Well, how could you tell us? Was it a landslide?
A landslide? Yeah. Partially, yes. It was a snow slide, actually. It was so much snow that nobody could get to the polls. I happened to be there because I slept there all night.
And the vote was?
1-0.
You?
I won.
You cast your own.
I cast my own.
Well, I think you've made a little bit of a mistake. If you're not here for an interview, Martin Agronsky has gone home for the week.
Who is he?
Well, he does the cut-ins on the Garraway
show. Oh, yes, the Garraway show.
Yeah.
Yes. Is that anything like the Grand Ole Opry?
No, well, it's sort of, with Jack Lasculli it is, in a way. But actually, Senator, I think you're in the wrong place. This is a comedy show here at WRC.
Son, have you ever been to Congress?
No.
What do you think that is?
Oh, okay.
Come on, boy.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro. We are the Joy Boys of radio. We chase electrons to and fro.
Time for the Joy Boys for a brand new week here. This is Ed Walker.
I think we said that. This
We're not brand new at all.
Brand X. There's little Bobby Shedden over there.
Bobby, have you had medical attention? I'm beginning to wonder about this cold. He's had this for so long.
Georgie Brewington, our Virginia engineer. And from the foothills of Southern Maryland, we have no sound effects engineer. It's one of those things.
What?
Arthur Page. I'm sorry. I didn't see you over there.
I was just checking my overtime sheet under the table here.
Behind the bologna sandwich over
there. That's right.
Well, it looks like a pretty exciting show coming up on our...
Excuse me, boy.
Senator, I think you're budging in our studio.
I'm back on official business. I left something here when I was here with my snuff box. Here. Would you hand me that? Thank you very much. Never go anywhere without my snuff box.
Brand Knuckles with him, too. Coming up on our show today, Sammy Skin is going to premiere a brand new album he's just recorded called
Sammy?
Drum Along. Yeah,
Sammy. Made an album?
Drum Along with Sam. It's a new series of albums that he's produced for... Kalinks Records, and then coming on also will be the new show, Sergeant Prestone of the Yukon.
Great, and his wonder dog, Yukon King.
That's right. Also, Arthur Kivefish will be here. I understand we have an award, Edward.
Well, what is the award?
The Bacon Manufacturers of Washington have just voted us the two biggest slabs in radio.
Hey, wait a minute. Wait, that's an O in there.
Oh, I spell it wrong.
Yeah, it's...
That's called You're Just in Love, done for us by the Brass Choir.
That's awful pretty music.
Very exciting moment in the studio. Normally on our Joy Boys show, each Monday at this time, we present Sammy Skin, his musical drums, and a little musical recitation. As you maybe do not know, Sammy is our WRC staff drummer.
That's right.
Radio years ago started out with staff organists, staff singers. They even at one time had staff orchestras. But, of course, times have changed, and radio now is operating on a budget. So all we can afford is a $35 a week drummer. And, Sammy, you were it when we played Kick the Can, came up with you.
I'd like to say one thing. I'm very humble about this time. It was my first record on the market, and I owe it all to you guys because I have the exposure. This was my showcase.
Sammy's first release was his wife. This was about 6 months ago. He came to Florida.
Yeah, I got rid of her.
But his second release now is out on the Call Hex Records, and Sammy is really wonderful. Let us say that in the year that you've been on our program, you've received some notoriety.
Let us say that, yes.
During the inaugural recently, you were appearing at the Armory, I understand, in the
vestibule. In Baltimore.
That's right.
And there was no ball over there.
Believe me, there's no ball in Baltimore.
Now, I would like to say this, that this record that you're about to hear, of course it would have been kind of silly for me just to play the drums, so I had a chorus accompany me, and they sang an old favorite song, which I was featured as the solo artist.
Well, this is known, the series, this is not to be the first and last record. This is to just begin the series. of a series of records, right?
Well, this is Drum Along with Sam, and I expect in the next month or two to come out with Snare Drum Along with Sam.
Saturday Night Drum Along with Sam.
Bass Drum Along with Sam.
More Drum Along with Sam.
And Tom Tom Drum Along with Sam.
Sing a cymbal song with Sam and Sam Cymbal.
Bongo song, Sing Along with Sam.
Well, let's, for the time being, listen to your first release, all
Drum
right?
Along with Sam. We've picked a great cut here for you. An old favorite song called In the Evening by the Moonlight.
Let's hear it, George. Sam.
I'm sorry they played the wrong cut there.
George, you got the wrong cut.
Don't make any difference.
I don't think it does, George.
Actually, it doesn't. No, they're both there.
They're all like that?
Yes. What do you think?
Well, Sam,
be honest.
Are we friends?
Certainly.
I mean, we can talk freely.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, it's a little, it sounds like the drum is a little faster than the group singing. I mean,
well, there's a reason for that. See, we had a huge chorus, 200 men, and it just wouldn't fit in the same studio with the drum, so they had me down the hall.
So you had to...
I just had to fake it. I didn't know what... they couldn't afford a speaker in there.
Well, I guess since, too, the drum is the featured instrument.
That's right.
The chorus
yes.
is just there to denote the melody.
Uh-huh. But we tried.
Well, that's very interesting, Sam. I
think it'll make it?
I don't think it's going to sell, personally.
Now, let me show you this.
What's this?
It's my gold record. We just hit the 2 million mark this morning. Came out yesterday.
The song, the record, the album...
2 million copies.
One day, and it's been 2 million...
That's right.
Who bought it?
The Air Force. They use it in jets to see how much noise and vibration they will stand.
Endurance, right?
Yes.
Okay.
Fine.
Thanks, sir.
All right.
That's Patty Page, okay, of the Singing Rage, and we three.
I like her an awful lot, that Peggy Lee.
No, ma'am, that's Patty Page. You'll have to excuse me, my dear, but if you insist on talking while you're in the studio, we'll...
I'll keep my mouth shut. I just wanted to watch the show.
Yeah, we understand that. We'd be glad to have you with us, but you'll have to be quiet.
Okay.
Okay, go ahead.
What's everybody running for?
Read the Washington Post and find out.
Blubber Bits, a whale of a dog food.
It's a dog of a whale food.
Oh, I guess you're right. Well, anyway, they present the Challenge of the Yukon.
Arjun Prestone of the Yukon and his wonder dog, King.
On King, on you Husky. Come on, big fella, across the frozen tundra.
Arjun Prestone of the Yukon and his wonder dog, King. Today's exciting story is entitled, The Frozen Food Freezes Faster. As our story opens, we find ourselves 35 miles below Nome, Alaska. It is the mid of winter, 15 degrees below zero, as we find ourselves inside the King home. Sergeant Prestone and his Auntie Freeze are working over something to eat as we hear Prestone say...
Auntie, it's indeed a pleasure to be with you again here after being out tracking those criminals for so many months.
Would you button up my shoe there? It's the doggone down below there. I can't get to it. One more step. About to freeze to death here.
Do you have anything that we can eat, Auntie? Both King and I are frozen.
Yeah, me too. I'm starving to death. Well, I went on down to the store, Prestone, and I got us something to eat.
What did you get, Auntie Freeze?
Here it is. The TV frozen dinner, Prestone.
Andy, don't you realize that those TV dinners will never thaw out here. It's colder outside than it is inside the refrigerator.
Oh, drat. By the way, that salesman really took me, didn't he?
Who sold us that stupid refrigerator anyway?
I didn't. I won it on one of them quiz shows when I was down in Nome 2 weeks ago. Not enough
to cold antifreeze.
What's the matter, Preston?
King is looking out the window. I think he...
Mangy beast is hungry.
What is it, fella? Yeah, all right, King boy.
What's the matter, Preston?
Don't you move, antifreeze.
All right, Preston.
There's a man outside the window. It looks to be the same man I've been tracking.
But, Preston, I think I ought to tell you something.
Just a moment. Stand right here. All right, now,
Preston.
When we go through the door, King, you jump for him, all right?
Preston, I should tell you
something. Come on, big
fellow. Get him, King! Get him!
Not me, King. You've got my arm.
Hey, get the dog off of Preston. Come here, King. You crazy beast. Come here.
Come on, you King. Bit my arm there. It smarts a little bit, King.
It's a good thing for us that the dog didn't go after that stranger out there.
Yes, he got away. I wanted to catch him. Who was he, anyway?
That was the grocery boy. I forgot to pay him. He left the green stamps outside the mailbox. Now,
thanks to you.
Bring that mangy beast in here, and we'll chip some of this frozen food away.
Thanks to you, King. This case was all bollocked up here.
That's today's exciting story of Sergeant Preston and the Yukon and his Wonder Dog King. Be tuned again next week for another exciting episode. This has been a Bow Wow production.
Alive.
And now, Merrimack,
Holden here,
the greatest name in ironclad ships, brings you author Codfish Time. Are you tired of your old four-masted schooner? Then look at Merrimack, the greatest name in ironclad ships. And now, here he is, author of the old Buck Tooth Codfish.
I got a little old fella downtown. He works all day watching Huckleberry Hound. Lidle-lidle-diddle-diddle-di. Let me put the old fella down here. Coming in, it's nice day to see.
Yes, Arthur. The snow is beginning to melt out there, Arthur.
It's beginning to look a lot like Valentine's Day. Come on, it's been cold all week.
Yes, Arthur, it has been cold all week, hasn't it, Arthur?
Up on the farm, I was up there, yeah, almost all the weekend. Well, it wasn't very funny. I don't see where you should laugh at that.
I cued him to laugh, Arthur. We're not taking any chances today, Arthur.
Never know.
Good morning, Mr. Codfish.
Hello, Carmel, me darling.
How are you, sir?
Sit down and have a cup of tea.
You want I should sing Dollar
Not Day? In the cup of tea, Carmel.
Sorry,
sit down and have a cup of tea.
All right.
Ah, it's nice, Dave. Golly, I was so thrilled, Meatball.
Really, Arthur, what happened?
Last week, one of the really highlights of my immortal life caught up with me.
What was that, Arthur?
I got a wonderful little something special in the mail.
Your income tax return, Arthur?
Think no.
You haven't been drafted, have you, Arthur?
Golly, you're very funny like a rubber crudgy.
What did you get in the mail, Arthur?
I got an invitation to the inauguration of the president.
Wonderful, Arthur.
This coming Friday, I've got myself a suit rented.
A formal attire, Arthur?
Stuffed shirts.
Arthur,
I borrowed it from one of the vice presidents. I've got myself a wonderful Cadillac rented for the evening.
Arthur, I think
the wife has got a beautiful gown made specially by Chapped Seal Lips.
But Arthur, there's something...
a very famous designer.
Arthur.
What's that, Meatball?
Something I feel I must tell you.
Can't get you an invitation, Meatball.
It wasn't that, Arthur, no. I had my invitation. I went to the inaugural last week.
Whose inaugural did you go to?
The presidential inauguration, Arthur, last Friday.
How can that be when I'm going this Friday, Meatball?
Arthur, if you'll check the envelope, I think you'll find the date was last Friday.
It says right here, it says the president invites you to the inaugural ball the 20th of 28.
It was last Friday.
Yeah.
It was a wonderful occasion, Arthur. The inaugural ball was wonderful, Arthur, and I want, if you care, I will give a complete discourse on what I saw at the inauguration.
I think you better get on the telephone and give a discourse to the catering service.
What for, Arthur?
You're having a party.
But, Arthur,
this Friday.
Haven't planned to have
it's
a party.
It's going
to
be formal.
With tux and everything, Arthur?
That's right. Get me a set of gold studs, would you?
Who's the honored guest, Arthur?
Me. That's whom's the honored guest.
Who's paying for this party, Arthur?
Guess who?
That's what I thought, Arthur.
You're playing kick the can, Meatball.
Goodbye, Arthur.
You're it.
I'm gonna find my friend who lives downtown. Get him to change his channel. Watch Bozo instead of the hound. It's the clown I hear.
And so, good people, that brings to a close another exciting edition of the Joy Boys program, coming to you in living color from the studios of NBC Radio. Well, it's got Ed Walker here, yours truly, Arthur Page, Bobby Shetton, and all the gang that made tonight's program possible. Don't forget, our show is heard by the Armed Forces Overseas. Keep your dial set for more music with Old Granddad at 7:45.
We are the Joy Boys of radio. We take a lifetime to and fro.
Play them funny chimes they usually hear.
Renato, just forget it, I think.